Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 104. Patrick here, CJ Evolution. Thank you for tuning in, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Thank you for spending a little time with me, folks. For those of you out there wanting to start a podcast show, I know we just did another show about this recently, but I wanted to bring on another expert who is really going to teach you how to start your own podcast show. He is an amazing guest. His name is Rob Greenlee. He is the head of content at Spreaker, is the former EVP/CTO at podcastone.com, and he is the former content and business manager of podcast/TV at Microsoft Xbox Live and Zoom. Among the topics we are going to talk to Rob today about are podcasting in 2017, how to start your own podcast, how to produce a live audio podcast, podcasting different from radio and the differences between that, and some simple tools, folks, for mobile podcasting today. So I hope you enjoy this great interview with Rob Greenlee. Today I have Rob Greenlee on. Rob, head of content at Spreaker. Welcome, sir.
Well, it's great to be here, Patrick. It's always a pleasure to speak about podcasting. It's been a life passion of mine for many years, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, thank you, sir. Now, what is Spreaker? Can you inform the audience of what is that?
Well, Spreaker really simply is just a podcast hosting platform. So we basically give you all of the tools, if you're a podcaster, to publish your audio episodes to various places on the internet, like iTunes and Stitcher, and to the Spreaker platform. We have terrific listening apps on iOS and Android. The other side of the platform is we have free software that's available on Windows, Mac, iOS, and Android that enables you to live stream your show, as well as record it and publish it to the platform, and thus put your audio out, in all those places like iTunes and Stitcher. The kind of magic that the platform has is it enables you to do a live audio show, streamed live, and then the service will record it and then automatically place it in your podcast feed. So it's really kind of a one-step process to do live kind of on-demand radio live radio to podcasting. So it's one of the few companies that actually offers that ability.
I don't think, because I use Podbeam, which is, I'm sure you've heard of that, but I don't think they offer that.
No, but I mean, because not all podcasters want to do live streaming.
Sure.
But it's certainly one aspect that I've been involved in for many years of doing live shows and pre-recorded shows. So I've lived in both worlds and kind of blended those worlds together to some degree as well. So I mean, sometimes even though you do a live show, and I don't call it a live podcast because that's kind of an oxymoron, because a podcast is an on-demand thing or a downloadable file, and a live stream obviously is something different than that. It's more like radio. But having that combination together is powerful. It enables you to connect more with your audience and get that feedback loop going with typically a fairly small set of your listeners, because most of your listeners are going to come from the on-demand part when it's convenient for them to listen to your program.
Now, you are a pioneer, Rob, of a podcast. You've been doing this a long time. Now, when you first started, I mean, what did the landscape look like back when you started?
Well, when I started this, I started doing, like I was saying earlier, a radio show. That's how I got started doing this. I'm not a broadcaster by training or by education or anything. I just walked into a radio station in Seattle and started doing a show about the web and the internet. It was called the Web Talk World Radio Show. And this was back in 1999. So I was doing a lot of the same stuff before there was podcasting. So I was doing my show for about 5 years before podcasting actually started, and was working on a variety of platforms that were kind of precursors to what podcasting is today. But they were more proprietary platforms. You know, it was one, you know, that I worked with. It was called Sync & Go, and it was a platform that was built as part of Windows XP from Microsoft. And it enables you to transfer files between your Windows XP computer with client software over to a pocket PC. So you're able to watch basically downloadable video files and audio files, and I was one of the 13 content providers that was available on that platform for a couple of years.
Wow.
So that was before podcasting. What's ironic about it is that Microsoft canceled that platform or killed that program just as podcasting was taking off. So kind of a weird dynamic.
But, yeah.
But yeah, so I got involved in podcasting as an offshoot of my radio show, and it was really nothing more complicated than just adding the enclosure tag to my blog RSS feed at the time. It was a fairly small part of the distribution of my show because I was mainly getting a lot of listeners off of streaming and just people downloading the MP3 off my website.
Wow.
So that's kind of how I got started with it, and then just kept doing, you know, helping other podcasters too, and that's how it kind of evolved into me working for Microsoft and Zune and Podcast One, and now Spreaker. And I was working for another company before that too that was working with audio content on mobile phones. This was back in like 2005. So you know, I've been working behind the scenes for a long time, helping other podcasters distribute their shows and helping startup companies kind of build platforms to support the growth of the medium.
And it podcasts they're huge, but it amazes me how many people, at least the people I meet, not all of them, but some of them, that still have never heard of podcasts. They don't know what it is.
Yeah, there's still a lot of, you know, and that's the thing. There's a lot of upside to this bit of the medium because there's still a lot of people that aren't engaged with it because they're still listening to radio or they're listening to audiobooks or they're listening to other things or they're watching video. And they haven't really connected with it yet. But those that do connect with it tend to listen to less radio and listen to more podcasts. I mean, it's almost like I hate to say, but it's almost like an addiction. Once you get the bug, there's just more shows that you can connect with, and you tend to kind of cycle through shows as you try and discover the shows that you really like. And then you typically listeners stick with them.
Yeah. I mean, I, to your point, I very rarely listen to radio anymore. When I hop in my car, I hook up my iPhone and I'm going through my podcast. When I work out, same thing. I rarely listen to any radio anymore. I'm always listening to a podcast. Let's talk a little bit about the state of podcasting in 2017.
Yeah. Well, it's growing steadily, which it has always grown steadily. Podcast growth has never been a hockey stick kind of growth pattern. It hasn't been, you know, like 1 year is a huge jump in listeners or anything like that. There has been little bumps that have happened, like around the time when Serial came out, and I think a lot of people have heard about the inflections that have happened at various times. You know, back I don't know, when the comedians came on board in the podcasting space, there was another little bump. But it's just been steady growth, and 2017 is continuing to do the same. I think what's happening that's maybe a little bit different is the quality of content and the amount of content over the last 2 years or so has really accelerated. There's typically about 2,000 new shows that get launched in the podcasting space every month.
Wow.
So we're currently total... Globally, if you look at the iTunes catalog, it's around 355,000 podcast shows right now, of which about half of them are actually active.
Yeah, I was going to say. So a lot of them will probably fizzle out.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of people that start shows that run them for just a limited duration, or they just do what's commonly called in the industry pod fade, which means that they just, over time, life gets in the way. stop producing episodes, or they weren't able to grow the show as quickly as they had anticipated, and it became lesser of a priority, or they just plain run out of things to talk about. I think it's one of the challenges, and I spend a lot of time talking about a lot of these issues on the other podcasts that I do, because I do podcasts about podcasting, which is really meta, but I've been doing that for years and helping people kind of work through these issues of things like pod fading and little techniques that you can use to kind of get through those tough spots in your life when it comes to being a content creator.
Well, I love, having people like you on. I mean, great people. They can provide value, and that's the one thing I'm learning and still learning about the podcast is that, like you said, providing value to people. But I'm jazzed every time I get on, a show and talk to people like you or any other guests that I've had on. I've been fortunate to have a ton of guests, and I'm jazzed about it. I'm psyched about this, and yeah, it's growing slow, but it's like chipping away, man, moving the ball down the field 1 yard at a time.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what the experience is. It's not really a sprint, though some people approach this medium as a sprint. Like episode one, you got to hit 1 million downloads.
Yeah.
But that is rare. It's not a common phenomenon that happens. Usually, how these things are built is slow, methodical building, just like building any business.
Exactly.
You're building listeners, and you're building trust, and you're building connections with people. Because it is a word of mouth marketing medium, so people will tell their friends, they'll share it on Facebook or Twitter. Word gets out, people hear about it, people meet you, people hear you speak, and they gravitate towards you. And that tends to take some time and a lot of effort on the part of the host to facilitate that kind of social connection.
And it's like any other thing; it's very, very competitive too. At least I've seen.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
What do you think the future of podcasting is beyond right now, beyond 2017? I mean, where's the future going with this stuff?
Well, I think it's just going to continue to grow, and as people start shifting their consumption of audio content away from kind of more linear broadcast-like experiences. I mean, radio is still big; it's still getting consumed by 90%+ of the U.S. population on a week-over-week basis. So it's still in a lot of cars. It's still a big part of people's lives. But what's happening is as the cars get more digitized and capable of playing digital content and it becomes easier, then I think you're going to see, and it's a little bit of a generational shift too that's happening. The younger people are not listening to radio as much. They don't like the commercial loads. They like the authenticity of on-demand podcast-type content, and not they don't tend to like to be screamed at like you experience a lot on broadcast radio. So you're seeing the radio industry starting to kind of morph in their perception of their place in the audio kind of ecosystem. And start looking seriously at what they have to do to maybe change their formats and change what they do to keep their audiences, because those audiences are starting to shift over to on-demand experiences, just like what all of us have done with television and music and movies and things more and more, because people are busy and people want to program their own lives and not be programmed to. And I think that's kind of a part of what's behind podcasting. And podcasting has been kind of a late in development. It's been a little bit of stunted development, I think, just because it's an open medium. It's open standards. There's a lot of there's a lot of people that get into this medium that are not, going to build huge audiences. So you kind of have this kind of groundswell that happens around it. It's not unlike what happened to the World Wide Web. As it grew, there was a lot of sharing between websites. People were looking at what other people were doing, and it grew kind of organically. It grew kind of naturally. And the good thing about podcasting is there are some kind of open source kind of standards like RSS and how people do things. Now, there aren't really strict standards, and that's one thing that the industry probably needs to become. What a lot of people in the industry want is it to become more professionalized and have more advertising metrics and more standards around what kind of ad spots and things like that. There are a lot of things that radio has had for many years, because there's still a lot of money spent on radio that is not being funneled into on-demand yet. But most of the companies that are starting are anticipating that shift to happen more and more as audiences shift over to on-demand. So there's going to be, I think we're currently at maybe about $200 million in advertising revenue that's in the medium today. But that's like just a small fraction of a percentage of the like $10 or $11 billion that are currently being spent on radio advertising.
Wow.
So you can kind of see that we're still early. It's still the consumption of the medium is still only penetrating maybe 40 to 50% of the U.S. population. So there's still a lot of upside in this medium. And technology is going to evolve it too, just like technology basically enabled the smartphone, which basically turned our smartphones into new radios. And so that was a big inflection point for podcasting. And I believe that the next big inflection point is these smart speakers like the Amazon Echo.
Mm-hmm. I just got one.
Yeah, and the Alexa kind of platform that mm-hmm. Amazon is building. And Google's building the Google Home experience, and Microsoft's building the Cortana experience, where people are going to speak to their devices and request and ask for what they want. And that really plays into the kind of spoken word aspect of podcasting, the sharing aspect. And like a friend of yours will tell you, go listen to this podcast. And you go home and you say, Alexa, play this podcast, and it will start playing in your home or in your car or on your phone or wherever you happen to be. And I think that's the ease of discovery that the medium is going to see over the next few years.
I kind of used, or I'm thinking about when you were talking, Rob, of the analogy maybe with, newspapers. You remember when, the internet was taken off, and a lot of people get like me. I don't read a newspaper that much. I just get all my news on my phone majority of the time, or turn on the TV. But people thought that newspapers were just going to kind of fade away. No, they're still there because people like the feel. I wonder if it's the same with, like, as podcasts become more and more popular, radio will shrink. But yes. it won't really go away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's not going to go away. Just like on-demand television and did not completely kill off the
live TV
broadcast
yeah.
side,
yeah.
right? So what you see in the statistics is that you see usage of the media itself increasing,
mm-hmm.
But you don't necessarily see a huge fall off in the legacy media. It just becomes consumed less and less gradually over a long period of time, and I believe that that's driven based on kind of a generational shift, and that takes many, many years to transfer. When eventually I think radio will find a very small piece of the market, and I remember back in the early days of the internet and the web, as people were talking about wireless technology, that a lot of those FM frequencies could be used for data transfer. And so we may see, if you look out 20 or 30 years in the future, you may see that those frequencies that are currently used for AM and FM radio get transferred into use more and more with wireless kind of digital broadcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So and getting more data, because frequencies, we're kind of getting off the podcasting topic here, but frequencies are in short supply,
mm-hmm.
and as you look at the spectrum out there that is used for wireless communications right now, there's a lot being jammed into very limited frequencies, and so you could see radio being shut down essentially, and that those frequencies used for data transmissions.
Wow. Let's shift gears a little bit. You talked about live audio podcast when we first started. How do you produce one of those?
Oh, well, live has its own kind of unique challenges to them, and it's one of the things that Spreaker is focused on is basically enabling easy to use tools that will allow you to easily produce a live program. Like being able to play some intro music, some basically pre-recorded or sound bites in your program easily just by touching the screen, if you have a touchscreen computer that can activate things, having like the ability to fade down background sounds
mm-hmm.
so automatically. So when you start speaking over the top of, let's say, music or some other audio playing, that it will automatically lower the background sound. Just little things that can help a individual be able to manage a live show mm-hmm. easily themselves and be the producer and the host. So I think that's the key to doing live streaming in the digital age is, you know, most of us don't have a producer, you know, sitting in another studio that can manage all of the sliders and all of the controls on the volumes and bringing in segments and transitioning and stuff. You as a host have to be able to multitask mm-hmm. is what most of us have to do. And I did that a lot with my own radio show. But as I do live programs, I mean, you just, as you're doing it, I can just touch the screen and play, let's say, an audience member that sent me an MP3 with a comment about some topic that I had in a prior show. And I can just play that. And then after it's over, I can start talking after it and give that listener feedback on that and then move on. And then at the end of the show, I just say, well, thanks for listening to the show. And we'll see you next week, and I can just touch the screen, and we'll play some exit music and take us out of the program. And so you can kind of create that feel of a live radio show mm-hmm. And empower you to produce that so the listener has that kind of experience if that's what you want to produce.
Mm-hmm. And it's fun, too. I mean, like you were saying, I mean, it's a learning process for me because like many people, I mean, you're just learning a new skill set, and it's so cool for me to kind of play around, and it's exciting, and editing and all that. So for somebody out there, maybe I should have asked you this earlier, but, you know, for many listeners, obviously a lot of listeners don't have their own podcast. So if I'm listening to this show, Robert, how do I start my own podcast? You and I know how, but for those people out there who want to start their own show.
Well, I think that the simplest thing you do is you just kind of have to get focused on what you want to do, what topics that really get you excited that you will stay engaged with. I think that's really the beginning point mm-hmm. is getting an idea and maybe doing some research. Go into the iTunes podcast area and do a keyword search on your particular topic interest that you want to pursue and go see what the competition is. See what other people are doing. Try and listen to on a regular basis for some period of time a show that's kind of in your genre, right, or mm-hmm. in your area, and just learn about, you know, how those shows are produced and compare the ones that are successful with the ones that maybe you don't like and stuff, so you can start learning from others about what you think is good and what you think is maybe not so good. Mm-hmm. And as you kind of formulate your own show format and how you want to do it, then kind of lay that out, come up with a name, come up with, you know, some graphics for it. And then once you're ready to, you know, start down the path of actually recording some audio, then go out and get some fairly inexpensive audio, you know, like a USB microphone or something mm-hmm. like that you can plug right into your computer and get some recording software, whether it's Spreaker or some other wave editor type software. You can get Audacity, which is a free software that's available online, and start recording some shows. Mm-hmm. Out, you know, lay out an outline of how your show might be formatted. It doesn't have to be complicated. Just have an introduction, have a couple of content segments, and maybe you have an interview or something like that. And just start putting the pieces together and try recording one show, and then once you kind of have that feel that you have that, you know, fairly under control of what you might want to do in your first episode, then go out and get a podcast host. You know, it can be Spreaker, it could be Libsyn, it could be Blueberry, depending on what you're using. I would love it if you use Spreaker, but but there are a lot of choices out there.
Sure.
And if you're interested in doing live, the Spreaker is a great choice. But there's other platforms that have terrific tools as well. So, and go out and find a place that you might want to host your audio file. You typically don't want to host your audio file on the same server that you have your website on. So if you're building a website or you already have a website, you typically want to keep those things separated from each other because podcasting can saturate the bandwidth. It probably won't at the very beginning of your podcast, but it depends on how popular you are. Mm-hmm. Celebrity or something like that, you may saturate the bandwidth for your website and slow down the performance of your website each time you publish an episode. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's good to have it on a platform that's designed for distributing downloadable MP3 files. And then And then from there, you have a place to publish your audio, and then you get your feeds into iTunes and get them into Stitcher and just start producing episodes and publish them on a regular basis and then get out in the world and tell people about it. Go into forums, go to events, go to get some cards or whatever that you can give out to people that you meet at events in your genre. Get out in the community of which you live in and get involved in the community in that genre area. Maybe you're already working as a career in that particular area. Then just tell people what you're doing and spread the word. And that's how you build a show.
I want to talk a little bit about advertising trends in a minute, but I always get the question, Rob, maybe you do, how long should a podcast be? Because I don't know if there's any magic number, but I listen to podcasts, you know, like Tim Ferriss, for example. I mean, some of his shows like are an hour and a half, and I'm like, wow. But of course, that's Tim Ferriss, and he has millions of followers. Yep. But for the average person out there, like me, or you know, another person who's starting a pod, what's a good time limit?
Well, I think that you don't want to limit yourself too much on either end of that spectrum. Mm-hmm. I think what you need to think about really primarily is the content that you're producing that you want to produce. And one of the big advantages of podcasts is that you're not limited in duration. You know, if you're doing a radio show, you're usually locked into 30 minutes or an hour. But in podcasting, you don't really have to be limited by a given number. There's people that will tell you to, you know, it's best to do a short show. And other people will tell you it's best to do a long show. My philosophy and the data says that long shows can be successful. The data shows that some short shows can be successful. But the data does lean towards longer.
Interesting.
So some data that's come out from Libsyn, which is another hosting platform that hosts like 30 or 40,000 podcasts, and a lot of them are in the top 200 of iTunes. The average duration of a podcast that has 100,000 downloads, right? So these are like the upper 2 or 3% of podcasts that are out there. Those shows have an average length of 51 minutes.
Wow. Interesting.
So some of the most popular podcasts are actually longer than 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. They could be an hour and a half, just like Tim Ferriss, just like what you said. That is a classic example. But that isn't to say that just because Tim Ferriss is doing an hour and a half, that's what's right for you.
Yeah, true.
Maybe what's right for you is to do a 20-minute podcast because that's all the time you have to allocate to this. And that's all the time that you need to communicate the topic that you want to communicate.
Yeah.
So it's all about what the content is, what your audience will get value from, and what you as a podcaster have time to produce.
Well, and I think the market's going to tell you whether or not they want it or not.
Well, to some degree, that's true, and other people will tell you that you have to earn that length.
Mm-hmm. True. True.
I mean, I've heard public radio folks tell me that you start a podcast, do it kind of short at the beginning. And as you build your popularity, you can extend the length of it because you're building loyalty.
Exactly. And people will listen.
Yeah, exactly. And people will listen to a longer program if they're connected with it, if they have that personal connection with the host, and they've scheduled it in their lives and they know approximately how long it is. I'm also a firm believer of whatever you decide to do, you should probably stick fairly close to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do a show, I do two podcasts a week. One of them is about an hour and a half long. It's a video podcast and an audio podcast. So both of them are about an hour and a half, and we tend to stick to that. The other show I do is between probably 40 minutes and an hour. So there's a little bit of a 20-minute kind of flop on that, depending on what the topic is. If I have a lot of content to talk about, I'll go an hour. But if I have less, then I'll go 40, 45 minutes.
Interesting.
So, you know, you can have that flexibility, and I don't see a difference necessarily in any of the numbers that I've seen of how many people are listen to my program, whether it's 45 minutes or an hour or 30 minutes. I don't see a difference. Now, granted, each individual listener will only allocate as much time to listen to your as they have,
mm-hmm.
and that's irregardless of the length. So they will listen to as far as they have time to listen to it.
Now, what are some, you talked a little bit, Rob, at the beginning about advertising. What are some trends in podcasting?
Well, on the advertising side, I would say that the big trend right now is standards and kind of best practices, and the metric side is what's being worked on right now. The IAB, which is an advertising kind of based organization, has been working with the podcast community for the last 2.5 years, and they are formulating advertising standards about how to count what a download is and what a play is or a listen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some standards that are coming together. It hasn't really been as big of an issue as I think it's been portrayed in the media, that, you know, it's a wild, wild west of podcast metrics. It's not really as bad as it seems. There is some variability between hosting platforms and how they filter and count downloads and plays. So I think that on the advertising side, some of this stuff is getting worked out. The host reads, which are basically the host are basically doing a advertisement for a particular advertiser on their show, and they basically do it as part of the content. That is what built this medium as an advertising medium, is that host relationship with the audience, mm-hmm. as a trust-based relationship, and the advertisers have kind of swooped in and use that as a lever to build customers.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing now with radio getting involved is they want to see it shift more towards being able to bring in brand advertisers, you know, Ford and Geico and some of these others that are spending millions of dollars on radio. They want mm-hmm. to bring them into podcasting, and those folks have a little bit of a different expectation. They want to be able to control the ad, and shifting that role over to a host to do all the creative for their ad, they feel a little less comfortable with that. So that's really kind of, at a nutshell, what the dynamic of that. So you have kind of like pay for performance kind of advertisers that get into podcast advertising and have the host read the spot, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have these brand advertisers that want to come in and kind of brand those spots with their own talent and their own music and their own kind of special effects and things like that. But those worlds are kind of coming together and colliding.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to have to be compromise for those advertisers to find success in podcasting, because is a much more personal medium. You know, nobody's yelling at their audience typically in the podcasting world, not trying to get people's attention, because you already have somebody's attention. They're in your ear. They have mm-hmm. earplugs in your
yeah.
ear. It's not like you're driving in the car and there's a lot of noise around you and you have to get that listener, you know, attention. So you don't have to yell at them, and you don't want to yell at people in their
sure.
podcast. So those are the main things.
Now, the last thing I want to talk to you about today is what are some tools for mobile podcasting? I've never tried this, mm-hmm. but what are some I want to, but what are some tools that people can use for mobile podcasting?
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons that I went to go to work for Spreaker was because they have mobile tools for audio creation. So, mm-hmm. you know, Android, iOS, the live streaming and recording apps, but as far as mobile production, I mean, it's easier than ever now to just plug some USB microphones into a Surface tablet, which is what I use, or into your phone. You can just plug into, you know, a Lightning port on your iPhone or a headphone jack on your iPhone or on your Android device,
mm-hmm.
and be able to get a nice little microphone and plug that in there, and you can basically do your whole podcast right off of your smartphone these days, and have a good sounding show. I mean a lot of people do their show just off of the iOS headphone microphone,
yeah.
you know, the ear jacks. That microphone on that is actually pretty darn good.
Yeah.
You could do a podcast on that. So it's getting easier and easier and simpler to do this stuff. And it is possible to have multiple microphones running into your smartphone. So you could give a lavalier to, let's say, your guest. They could put it on their shirt or whatever, and then you wear one on your side, and you just talk, and it records into your iPhone. So things are getting easier, and they're pretty inexpensive, too. I know that the Spreaker apps are free, so you can just get those off of the iOS and Android app stores. You have all the tools right there to do everything you need to do.
It's amazing. It makes you wonder what it's going to be like a few years from now, because everything evolves and everything's getting just changes so quickly. So
yeah, I think that the audio quality will continue to get better. I think microphones will continue to get better, and they're going to be integrated more into our mobile devices more and more.
Yeah. Well, Rob Greenlee, thank you, sir, for coming on the show today, educating us all on podcasting. If people want to find you, Rob, how do they find you? I mean, they can find you anywhere, right? Twitter?
Yeah, I'm pretty easy to find in the search engines. Just type in my name, Rob Greenlee, and that's with two E's on the end. But I do have a website, robgreenlee.com. I do two podcasts a week. I do the Spreaker Live Show, and that's at spreakerliveshow.com. And then I also do another show called The New Media Show, and that's at newmediashow.com. And those are both live shows. The New Media Show is a live video show as well. Mm-hmm. It's on Facebook and YouTube. And then the Spreaker Live Show is just an audio. It's just a live audio program that I do every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. So, and then I can be reached just by email. If you just want to send me an email, rob@Spreaker, and that's with an R, spreaker.com. And those are probably the best way. I'm on Twitter too, at Rob Greenlee. So I managed to get all just my name with all of these accounts. So hopefully it makes it easier.
Well, I am definitely going to head over to Spreaker and check out that site. And I appreciate it again, sir, for coming on. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Well, thank you, Patrick. And I wish you the most luck with your show and what you're doing. And I hope this was helpful to your listeners and their maybe ambition to create their own podcast.
I'm sure it was very educational. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.